House come to order. Will the members please register their presence by voting? Any member, clerk might take the quorum.
Thirty-five present, five absent.
Mr. Miller.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Rhodes is excused from the call of the House today until plain time. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused upon official state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Please rise for prayer at Reverend Alfred Wakefield, United Presbyterian Church.
May we bow our heads in prayer. O Father, you know the secret thoughts and the desires that are in our hearts and minds this morning. You know them far better than anyone else. Teach us to understand that thy will performed in our lives this day is the only way that we will ever be able to find peace. With thee is the fountain of life, and all of our passionate strivings for self-expression are the vital urge of your life-giving spirit in us. Save us this day from the suicide of misdirected energies and wasted powers. May we discover anew that in your service is perfect freedom, and that our small lives can achieve greatness only as they become instruments for the outworking of your creative and redemptive purposes for all mankind. Thank you for this new day, along with the opportunity it presents of being able to serve you and also serve others. Amen.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Brown.
I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread in the journal.
There are no objections, so ordered. Clerk, please certify to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
There are numbers, there are page numbers to be corrected for the journal for the 99th day. And on the 96th day, page 963, 25th line, after the question being, add reconsidered. Page 964, third line, after pass the House, add on reconsideration of the vote. With these corrections, I certify as to the corrections of the journal for the 99th day.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified and corrected by the chief clerk for the 99th day.
Without objection, so ordered. Brings us to introduction of guests, so the guests introduce the House. Mr. Rossi. Any other guests for introduction? Clerk, have messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have messages from the other House.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 94 by the Rules Committee by request of the Administrative Regulation Review Committee, annulling a regulation adopted by the Department of Health and Social Services pertaining to the licensing of nursing home administrators.
HESS.
Senate Bill Number 716 amended by the Commerce Committee by request of Legislative Council Subcommittee on Mortuary Science, an act relating to funerals and the practice of mortuary science and providing for an effective date.
HESS.
Senate Bill Number 741 amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the power of the Professional Teaching Practices Commission to revoke or suspend teachers' certificates.
Judiciary.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
So clerk, have reports of or general communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had Senate Concurrent Resolution 75 amended relating to the development of a children's code under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 75 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Sullivan, Chairman, concurred in by Sullivan, Hackney, Ostrowski, Parr, and H. Byrne. Having no recommendations, Swanson, Osterbach, and O.C. Senate Concurrent Resolution 75 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 484 amended by the House relating to abandoned motor vehicles, which was referred to Judiciary in third reading. under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 484 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Brown, Cotton, Specking, and Bradley. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 484 amended by the House has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Management has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569 relating to workmen's compensation rates for injured workers residing in states other than Alaska and for death benefits under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Smith, Chairman, concurred in by Smith, Urien, M. Byrne, and Huntington. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 569 has no further referral. The Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services has had House Bill 447, making a special appropriation to the Alaska Educational Broadcasting Commission under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 447 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Sullivan, Chairman, concurred in by Sullivan, Davis, Swanson, Parr, and H. Byrne. House Bill 447 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 726, making a special appropriation to the Mineral Resource Revolving Fund under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Swanson, Brown, Huntington, Osterbach, and Hirschberger. House Bill 726 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 657, relating to the Platting Authority, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee report it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Kelly, Hackney, and Rudd. Signing do pass, Cotton, and Ostrowski. House Bill 657 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk have reports of special committees.
The Conference Committee with Powers of Free Conference, which has had House Bill 686, Legalization of Rain Classics, and Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 686, amended Senate, under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill number 686 be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Ray, Chairman, Ziegler, and Coletta signed do not accept. House members, Gardner, Chairman, Brown, and Specking signed do not accept. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have introduction resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House Bills.
House Bill number 917 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to disaster relief for Western Alaska and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us to the daily calendar. Would the clerk read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill number 634 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the employment of minors. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 634 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. Smith, Chairman, concurred in by Smith, Urien, and M. Byrne. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 634 under consideration. Three of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 634 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Parr, Cotton, and Specking. Having no recommendation, Gardner, Brown, and Eliason. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Judiciary Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 634 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, committee substitute for House Bill 634 is considered engrossed, advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. Would the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 634 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the employment of minors and providing for an effective date.
Bills before you for discussion and debate. Question is, Mr. Cotton.
Well, the original bill was, of course, requested by the governor. On the first page there, there's a provision that would allow the minors to work on a licensed premise, which means that in some cases an entire building or specifically a hotel would be considered a licensed premise, and minor minors wouldn't be able to work anywhere on the premises if the law were to be strictly adhered to. This would allow them to work in the hotel, but not in the bar or any place that actually sold the liquor. Most of the rest of the bill deals with conforming to some federal regulations. We've cut the bill down somewhat. Perhaps I get some help here from somebody else in the committee. I think that's the major impetus of the bill was, though, to allow the minors to work on a licensed premise.
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the one thing else that the committee considered there was that we struck out some of the federal regulations as being too restrictive. We felt that there are a number of young people in the state who either dropped out of school or would like to work after school. You know, in some places we've had to double shift schools, and high school students have been able to work either mornings or afternoons. And all that we really needed was adequate provisions to make sure that they are not working in places that are dangerous to them. And that's essentially what the bill does now, is to ensure that. The employer, by the way, who hires a minor is required to report to the Department of Labor, so that the Department of Labor may inspect and make sure that the conditions are safe and not otherwise injurious.
Mr. Huntington. Somebody may respond.
Could we ask your question repeated, please? I couldn't hear him.
Mr. Huntington, would you repeat your question?
My question was that is this going to affect younger than 16 years old in any way?
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Speaker, it prohibits persons younger than 16 from being employed in hazardous occupations. It also brings the state regulations into conformity with federal regulations. The federal Fair Labor Practices Law prohibits a state from being more lenient than that law, but it may be more strict. This makes it in conformity with the law.
Mr. Huntington.
Yeah, it didn't clarify it up for me either. What I need to know is, does this allow box boys in a grocery store where liquor is sold to work in that place?
Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, liquor is not sold at a grocery store. Yes, this would allow a box boy to work.
Mr. Huntington.
I maybe think different than a lot of people, but I see it as an opening of the door, a trail-breaking bill again, once I see it for House Bill 834. So it would allow that bill to go through, which would allow beer and wine to be sold in grocery stores. Now, if beer and wine is sold in grocery stores, will the box boy be able to work in that position under this bill?
Mr. Parr.
Mr. Speaker, if the liquor was sold in the same premises, what the intent of the bill is that the person would not be allowed to work there. The existing situations, you may know, is that many places have two separate entrances into the same building. Now, the box boy can work in the grocery side, but he can't work in the liquor store side. And that's the reason, as Mr. Cotton explained, that under the existing law, the word premises would apply to the whole building. Now, if the liquor was sold in in the grocery store part itself, I don't believe, according to the information we got from the interpretation the Alcoholic Beverage Control Commission would put on it and so forth, that it would be allowed to do that.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 634 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll.
Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 1 nay, 5 excused.
Committee substitute for House Bill 634 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 634 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There be no objection, so ordered. Would the clerk read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 659 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia Reenlistment Bonus. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 659 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by M. Byrne, Wallace, Miller, Parker, Fisher, H. Byrne, and McKinnon. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 659 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Greening, Haugen, Guy, and Buchholz. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read the first amendment.
Oh, no, excuse me. I don't have an amendment.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, if there are no amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 659 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There be no objection, House Bill 659 is advanced to second, third reading, placed on final passage. Would the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill number 659 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Alaska National Guard and Alaska Naval Militia Reenlistment Bonus.
Bills before you for discussion and debate. Question is, should House Bill 659 pass the House, members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote, clerk might close the roll. Any member wish to change their vote? Clerk might take the roll.
Yeas, 3 nays, 7 excused.
House Bill 659 has passed the House. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 871 by the Judiciary Committee. An act relating to the number of superior and district court judges and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 871 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Cotton, Specking, and Bradley. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 871 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 871 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Haugen, Guy, Naughton, Itta, Duncan, Buchholz, and Malone. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Cotton.
Could we have it at ease, please?
House will be at ease. Let's come back to order. Mr. Miller.
A number of members have expressed a desire to check off the floor further into the ramifications of this bill, so I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 871 be held over to tomorrow's calendar.
No objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 871 will be held over for one legislative day, appear on the calendar in second reading. Mr. Freeman.
Parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker. Did we adopt the committee substitute?
We did not adopt the committee substitute.
I beg your pardon, that's correct. I was thinking we had, but so it'll be in second reading, but not as committee substitute.
Action.
No action.
Just having been read and brought before us. The clerk read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 897 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the Alaska Longevity Bonus and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 897 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee report it back without recommendation. Report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Guy, Itta, Duncan, and Buchholz. Signing due pass, Cooper, Haugen, and Malone. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller?
Speaker, unless some member has amendments, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 897 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 897 is advanced for second, third reading, placed in final passage. Clerk, read the bill for the third and final time.
House Bill number 897 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Longevity Bonus and providing for an effective date.
Bills before you for discussion and debate. Is there any discussion? Mr. Cotton.
I'm curious about how much money this is going to cost.
Somebody may respond. Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, this is a portion of a bill which was included in one prior to this time where all the other components have been taken out and put in other bills, but this particular one had not. The fiscal note, which is on your desk at this time, was the portion taken from the fiscal note on Senate Bill 533, which included this particular portion. And I think all of you should have it. And you will see in the analysis that at the present time, they are unsure about how many people might fall within the ages or over the ages of 65 who've been here for 30 cumulative years. But they are basing a rough assumption on the fact that last year 150 people were turned down. They have another rough assumption that maybe 50% of those 150 were because they didn't have the 25 continuous years but might possibly have had over 25 years but with a break in there. They have one other assumption that possibly within the next year 75 more people might apply. This would, according to the estimates, bring it up to 199,000, and that would be for the year. And it's presumed that possibly because most of these people are of such an age after they've been here 30 cumulative years, that would be a decreasing figure rather than an increasing one.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I think I'm going to vote for it, but I do want to point out that it does kind of change the nature of the longevity bonus. That is, that in a way, no matter what generation we're in or down the line, if it stays on the books, that means the longevity bonus continues to exist long after the people who were here before January 3rd, 1959 are around. And maybe that's a good idea, I guess. And I didn't really understand the answer regarding the fiscal note. I'm sure that the prime sponsor is not Fran Ulmer, but that's what it says here. First legislator named Fran Ulmer. I'm not quite sure I understand that. But at any rate, while the answer regarding the fiscal note was in terms of how many people would apply, I suppose we're supposed to calculate it out here, but for my benefit, can somebody attach a dollar figure to that?
Mrs. Byrne.
Mr. Chairman, as I look at my attempt to take a note which was given to us prior to this time, I see that they actually left off the calculation which went with the analysis. The calculation reads, thus 75 plus 75 equals a possibility of 150 people. That would be roughly $111 per month, or 16,000 based upon this amount would be 16,650 per month times 12 months would be 199,800. Now, that is the best that we could get. Now, incidentally, apparently finance had attempted to get another note on this bill, and that has not been forthcoming. However, these are the figures which were figured by the present person who is in charge of this division as of 1/22/76. Now, how Fran Ulmer's name got on there, I have no idea. This, I presume, came out of the department that did the fiscal study as well. I guess it isn't time yet to talk on the bill, so since the question was only on the financial responsibility, I will talk on the bill later.
Representative Green.
Mr. Speaker, may we have the committee reports read again, please?
Clerk will read the committee reports again.
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 897 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee reported back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Guy, Itta, Duncan, and Buchholz. Signing due pass, Cooper, Haugen, and Malone.
Mr. Speckin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have a question. So the intent of the requirement for being domiciled in territory on or before January 3rd, 1959, I apply to those persons who maintain the 30-year domicile.
Mr. Speaker, if I understand, Mr. Specking, you are referring to just those that have been domiciled here for 30 years or continuous years? It's 30 cumulative years is what it would amount to. Now, this would include some people who, at the time when there was quite a demise of people from the Alaska Railroad, who probably had 23 years of service and then they could not afford to stay in the state, could for all purposes come back. And they could stay here with their families now a couple of years or 7 years, and they would have the opportunity to fall under this. At the present time, if anyone left before a 25-year period, they could not come back at this time and receive it by staying just 25 years. It has to be 30 cumulative years. An example is the memorial, which was read before you here the other day, of the gentleman that passed away, had spent 39 years in Alaska. And if you remember the contributions, he had made significant contributions to the state. He could not receive this bonus, and yet he was a true pioneer. The reason being that he had left for a 2-year period and gone to law school, which broke that into a segment which disallowed that. Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was attempting to get at the statements made by the distinguished gentleman from Fairbanks as to whether or not the requirement for those persons
Yes, yes indeed. And that is, as a matter of fact, written in January 3rd, 1959. That's written into the bill, House Bill 897.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, perhaps we need an amendment because I don't believe it is. This is the reason I was seeking to rise. If everybody would just study the bill as I read it, it says who either was domiciled in the territory on or before January 3rd and who has maintained a continuous domicile in the territory of state for 25 years or has maintained a domicile in the territory of state for a total of 30 years or more. There's no requirement under the second classification that the person be domiciled in the territory on or before January 3rd, 1959. I think maybe that's understood, but what I think an amendment should be drawn, and I'll ask for Aunt Ease a second just to confer with Mrs. Byrne. I think on line 13, we ought to add the phrase after the word or. It would say, or was domiciled in the territory on or before January 3rd, 1959, and has maintained a domicile in the territory or state for a total of 30 years or more.
Mr. Speaker. I'm sorry, would the gentleman yield just before the at ease? I just wanted to note that it is kind of a highly technical objection. I didn't want to raise any big problems with it because really it only becomes a difficulty after 1989. But, you know, if we're going to draft a good bill and still keep the original intent, we probably ought to adopt the amendment suggested by the majority leader. I yield back to the majority leader.
House will be at ease. House come to order. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent. This body return to third reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
The clerk read the specific amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Miller. Page 1, line 10. Delete either, line 11. After and, insert who either.
Is there any objection to going back to second reading? Hearing none, we are back in second reading. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one.
Objections noted. Would the clerk reread the amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Miller. Page 1, line 10. Delete either. Line 11, after and, insert who either.
Speaker, with your permission, I'll read the bill in context as it would read. A person who is 65 years of age or over who was domiciled in the territory on or before January 3rd, 1959, and who either has maintained a continuous domicile in the territory or state for 25 years or has maintained a domicile in the territory or state for a total of 30 years or more may apply, et cetera, et cetera.
Is the objection maintained? Hearing no objection, then the amendment is adopted. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 897 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, House Committee substitute for House Committee, is that a committee substitute? House Bill 897 is advanced from second to third reading, placed in final passage. Would the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill Number 897, amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the Alaska Longevity Bonus and providing for an effective date.
Bill's before you for discussion. Question is, shall House Bill Number 897 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Greening. Any other member? Mr. Guy. Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 2 Nays, 3 Excused.
House Bill 897 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 897 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Incidentally, we actually have no provision in our rules for yielding the floor to another member, but it is something that's useful often if a member is on his feet and is about to be in at ease or just a point of interjection. I think it's often a terminology that somebody could use that I think sort of indicates they have either the need to respond or one final point or something to say briefly before an at ease. But it isn't a privilege, or we don't yield the floor actually back and forth to each other. But I think it is a effective terminology to use as long as it's used with courtesy and we understand the context that it's used in. I just offer that caution. The clerk read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Bill Number 495 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to the Alaska National Guard pay and the Alaska Employment Security Act. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Bill 495 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Parker, M. Byrne, H. Byrne, Wallace, and McKinnon. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 495 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
No objection. Senate Bill 495 is advanced to second, third reading, placed in final passage. The clerk read the bill for the third and final time.
Senate Bill Number 495 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act relating to Alaska National Guard pay and the Alaska Employment Security Act.
Bill's before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Guy. Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, this bill, what it actually does is exclude National Guard inactive duty pay from consideration when determining eligibility for unemployment benefits. The problem is that guardsmen are paid quarterly, and they get their money in one lump sum, even though the drills at which they earn the money is spread out over the entire 3 months. So for the 1 week during which guardsmen receive that quarterly check, they're technically ineligible for unemployment benefits if they are receiving them. It's so far been administrative policy to do just what this bill suggests we do and not count it. Problem is that the administration feels rather uneasy in technically ignoring the law, and they prefer having this on the books since it is current department policy.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall Senate Bill 495 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 38, no Nays, 2 Excused.
Senate Bill 495 has passed the House. Will the clerk read the next item on the calendar?
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 605 by the Finance Committee. an act making a supplemental appropriation for highway construction and providing for an effective date. This bill is in third was referred to finance on reconsideration of the vote in third reading. The Committee on Finance has had House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 605 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Cooper, Haugen, Guy, Naughton, Itta, Duncan, and Buchholz. I have no amendments on my desk.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do have some material that I'd like to make available to the members of the House for their information on House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 605. To allow that to be distributed to the members, I'd like to ask for a brief at ease.
House will be at ease. Order. We're in third reading on House Bill 605. Is there discussion? Mr. Malone.
Speaker, I don't have any discussion to offer. During the at ease, distributed to the members was a list of the highway projects which are going to construction this season, this calendar year, which I think is useful information. One of the problems that exists, at least in my mind at present, is the laws regarding the highway planning in Alaska were written back, I think, in 1959. They provide, at least technically in the law, for review neither by the governor nor the legislature, except of the five-year plan. And the Department of Highways itself, without concurrence of either the governor or the legislature, under the law, can change that plan at any time. Right now we have pending legislation on a Department of Transportation, which, if enacted, would solve that problem and provide for adequate review of the highway program, both by the legislature and the governor. I think this has been the first year in a long, long time that even the governor's budget review committee reviewed the highway construction program. We spend literally hundreds of millions of dollars each year in highway construction in the state. Transportation, when you include highways, is our largest single area of state expenditure, yet it has been continuing without at least what I regard as adequate review by the elected officials in the state. Hopefully that situation will be resolved this session. In lieu of that, however, we did ask the department for a list of projects that were going to construction this year. The list has been provided, and the appropriation is necessary for the highway program to go ahead. Thank you, Speaker.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, we were told there was a technical problem with the bill. I think it was the word used when it was drawn off the calendar. It was a technical problem, the list of projects, or it was a technical problem with the bill itself?
Speaker?
Mr. Malone.
I'd be glad to answer the question. The technical problem was the amount of the appropriation in the bill. We had only received, when we checked, justification for approximately half the general funds requested. And since that time, we received the justification for the balance. And so I would recommend the House to enact the appropriation that's before you.
I'd say the justification came rather reluctantly. Question is, to committee substitute, Senate Bill 605 passed the House. Members may proceed to vote. Any member wish to change his vote or fail to vote, clerk may close the roll. Any member wish to change his vote, clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 2 excused.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 605 has passed the House. This brings us to unfinished business.
There is an effective date,
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 605 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause as well.
There are no objection. The effective date clause is adopted. Mr. Speaker,
may we be at ease?
House will be at ease. Come to order. This brings us to unfinished business. Is there anything to come before the House, Mr. Hackney?
Speaker, I'd like to serve those for consideration. I vote
634. Your reconsideration is noted. Is there anything more to come before the House under unfinished business? Special orders. Mr. Brown.
Could we be at ease, please?
House be at ease. House come to order. Are there any special orders to come before the House? Any special orders? Committee announcements. Mr. Brown.
I was not back at my desk when you went under special orders. I would ask if I'd be allowed to address the body concerning a matter of parliamentary procedure.
You may, Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would just like to point out, following up the Speaker's remarks just a short moment ago, that I don't know whether the procedure of yielding to a member for a purpose of a question or something is within our rules. I'm not even sure it's within the rules of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate, but they use it all the time. But just as a warning and a precaution that in the event it is used, and say an overzealous member from Fairbanks like me, who tends to be too argumentative, asks a member, will the member yield? Something is quite frequently done in the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate is, the answer simply is, no, I will not yield, and continuing on with whatever you're doing.
Point being is that if a person asks somebody to yield, they certainly have the privilege just to say no. It's no discourtesy at all, nor may a member yield to another member who's on his feet necessarily. Now, a lot of times a member may be standing there, such as Mr. Brown, and just wants an after comment or a clarification before going in an ease that the rest of the body should hear, or perhaps he knows that another member has the answer and sees him on his feet, and that becomes perhaps an instinct to the chair when there's three or four people standing that indeed, you know, that is a person who can answer the questions just been posed. But it's necessarily that person doesn't have to be recognized, and I think that's the context we should use yielding, that it's just a little courteous direction, rather not as anybody's right on the floor. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, under committee announcements, I hope that Mr. Brown will yield to the committee chairman for natural resources. Tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., the House Resources Committee will continue discussion on committee substitute for House Bill 846, creating a Fisheries Impact Economic Impact Council, House Bill 890, relating to cooperative resource management or development facilities, House Bill 728, relating to state oil and gas leases, House Bill 882, relating to timber salvage contracts, and House Bill 888, relating to land under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. That's a D2 steering committee.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Chairman, before any more announcements are made, particularly those that would be relative to this afternoon, I should announce that it'll be, I believe, the intention of the majority caucus chairman to call a caucus this afternoon, which will probably last all afternoon. It'll be on consideration of the budget. I believe it's an intention of the minority leader to call a similar caucus for the Republican members. So for all practical purposes, this afternoon is probably pretty well zapped.
Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, House Commerce tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock will be taking up three bills, HB 915, recently introduced, dealing with theatrical promoters, a committee substitute for House Bill 792 on health insurance, bill by Ostrowski that was passed out, but there were some inadvertent problems with that, so we'll bring it back before the body, and HCR 117, dealing with waterborne commerce. Appreciate if all the sponsors of those pieces would show up at 8.
Mr. Cotton.
CRA will meet tomorrow morning at 9. House or Senate Bill 529 dealing with property tax exemptions.
Mr. Naughton. Mr. Pard.
Mr. Speaker, the Select Committee on Education was going to meet at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I guess from what I just heard, we aren't. So we will meet at 7:30 tonight. And I'm hoping the people who are out of town who came up for our meeting will be able to stay over. House Bill 789 on student loan, House Bill 899 on tuition grants, House Bill 791 on Vocational Education Council, and if we get to it, House Concurrent Resolution 131 on school bus route.
Mr. Smith.
Labor and Management Committee meeting that was scheduled for this afternoon will be postponed till tomorrow afternoon, and there will be a Democratic caucus at 1:30.
Mr. Speckin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there will be
Any other announcements? Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Finance Committee will meet on adjournment for a brief meeting before noon. The subject is continuing discussion of the University of Alaska bond issue, subject to the caucus meetings of both the majority and minority. We'll also meet at 1 p.m. this afternoon and 7 p.m. this evening, 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. Continuing work on the University of Alaska bond issue and the ports, waters, and harbors bond issue.
Any other announcements? Mr. Miller. Like to adjourn us?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't think you said Miller. I was looking around for somebody else you were recognizing. Excuse me. By today's announcements, Mr. Speaker, I presume maybe I should announce that the Republican luncheons will be held. Apparently, Deputy Commissioner Holden will be speaking there. Undoubtedly, all of us are welcome. Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before this body, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
House is adjourned.